I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Dr. Tomas Enos. He is co-founder of the Milagro School of Herbal Medicine, and Beth Perry and Jimmy Manello join us. They are recent graduates of the school. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So you have been doing herbalism for a long time, Tomas.
Right, yeah, 23 years. I started in 1990, and as soon as I graduated from herb school, I started my practice and started gathering and making teas and just passionately in love with herbalism and the study of plants and how they're used. And so,
how did you find your way into it? Did you have something that was cured by herbs?
Well, I've had that successfully, but I think as far as my growth into that trade, I ended up studying with Michael Moore, a famed herbalist from the Southwest, and at the same time I was working with Seeds of Change when they were just starting up in their farm on the Gila River. And so the combination of those two experiences really helped me to grow into love the field of botany and medicinal plants and how to grow them and how to use them. And so it was just right away, when you know that you're struck with the passion for something, that's it. You know, you wake up and you say, "This is it for me," and that's the way it's been
ever since.
Ever since, yeah.
Now you teach. Your school has an 8-month-long program, which the two of you went through for the study of herbs. And to what extent is it local Southwestern herbs and the whole practice of gathering herbs and working with them? And to what extent, I mean, there's so many other traditions too, Chinese herbs, which don't necessarily grow in New Mexico.
Right. So we focus, we call it a bioregional program. So it is Southwest United States based. We focus primarily on the native plants, native medicinal plants from New Mexico. But we also talk about cultivating commonly used garden plants that have a tradition here, hundreds of years use that the Spanish brought, and other traditions as well. We do talk. We bring in curanderas from Mexico, and they teach a series of classes. And we also talk about the basic elements of Chinese medicine and how that weaves into our traditions in the Southwest.
Did the Spanish bring herbs from Spain that now grow here?
Yes. Well, alfalfa, for one, is actually from the Middle East. Alfalfa itself is an Arabic name, but being that the Arabs, of course, were in Spain for 800 years, they brought alfalfa to Spain, and then that was a crop that was brought over as fodder for their cattle, but it's also used medicinally in many traditions, and we still use it today as a great medicinal and nutritional herb.
What does alfalfa do?
It builds the blood. So it builds the soil. It's a legume, and it builds the soil with its nitrogen fixing, so it builds soil. And it's great for animals, of course. They feed a lot of that, and a lot of our fields in northern New Mexico are planted with alfalfa. And for humans, it also builds the blood, and it's good for recuperation after an illness or someone that feels kind of weak and needs to have more energy. It's a good long-term plant that can be used for, on a long-term for treatment to build the blood, as we say.
How did each of you, Beth and Jimmy, get into herbal medicine?
So my mom is actually an amateur herbalist, and she's always, my whole life, she's been just in love with plants, always had a huge garden, and she actually farms now. So it's always been in my awareness that it was a possibility. And I discovered the school sort of by accident. I was exploring potential opportunities to study integrative medicine, and I just happened to go by the shop and ask them if they had any classes, any workshops, and they had this whole program in herbalism. So I signed up, and it was a wonderful experience.
Have you found that herbal medicine has helped you through the small vicissitudes of life, let's say headaches and colds and things like that?
Absolutely. My favorite class of herbs are the nervines, which actually help treat the nervous system. And so that's what I became the most passionate about. And so I've discovered some different mixes and teas and tinctures that just help to sort of calm and help me sleep better, actually. I was able to stop taking Ambien and started taking herbs instead to
sleep.
Very
interesting.
Yeah, and then also just for, I find it works really well for colds, sore throats. That's probably what I've used it the most for at this point.
Jimmy, what about you?
I sort of have a roundabout story. I was a letter carrier in New Jersey, and it always bothered me that if there was an accident, I felt really helpless. So they offered, the post office offered a CPR class, took it, and I felt really good about that. And I came very close to using it, but I felt like I didn't have to stand around feeling helpless.
When you're a letter carrier, do you see a lot of accidents?
No, but I had a lot of elderly on my route, on my mail route, so I sort of worried, if somebody passed out, what would I do? So then after I retired, that always was in the back of my mind, and I joined Search and Rescue, and my son-in-law and I both became EMTs at the same time. That really empowered me. So if there was any acute or serious accidents, I sort of knew what to do. And then when we take elderly people to the hospital, I have to collect all these drugs. That really bothered me because I figured there's got to be a better way to live than these poor people taking all these drugs. And I've been curious about herbs because I have read a little bit about them. And then I started studying on my own, just as a hobby, nothing serious. And then when I came out here, I noticed the plant life around here was like being on a different planet, totally different than the East Coast. And so I became very curious, and then I walked into Milagro Herbs, and he's giving this course, and I'm saying, should I take this course, or shouldn't I? And I said, yeah, take it, and just totally blew me away. It was very empowering, because it covers everything, from acute to chronic.
Now, one thing that I've noticed recently, including in myself, unfortunately, is that so many people are more and more sensitive to foods that they used to be able to eat, like bread. Is there an herbal component to help people through those kinds of sensitivities and intolerances?
Well, we've seen a large increase in the number of people complaining about their digestive ability to, and particularly, of course, everywhere you go, you see gluten-free bread or gluten-free products, and which is a big thing. But also,
which you never saw 5 or 10 years ago.
You never saw it, and now there are bakeries. We have Revolution Bakery here in town that's all gluten-free, and many
Back-row
products.
Back pizza.
Right, all kinds of products. But it's not only the wheat products, but there are numerous other products that people are having reactions to, and we try to get at the root cause of that, of course, and consult people on their nutritional components of their life as well as their lifestyles, and then we do have some excellent medicinal herbs from our area that help to quell inflammation of the digestive tract and calm it down enough so that the person can manage their life better. So it takes a lot of work on the person's part to manage, find out what foods to avoid and what combinations of food. And a lot of folks have learned to eat a little bit eat their dinner a little bit earlier in the day, for example, so that their digestive tract's not so stressed late at night that causes an inflammation. There are all kinds of suggestions that we make in that realm.
Have you noticed a connection between the digestive problems that people have and then things like anxiety and nervous problems?
So actually, in my own experience with digestive issues, that's actually something else that I treated this summer, not me personally, but I had someone help me treat, was I got to the point where I couldn't tolerate any grains at all. And it actually, for me, it traced back to I had a fungal infection that was due most likely to taking a strong course of antibiotics for about 3 months for a sinus infection. So it's all interwoven,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So in order to treat the sinus infection, I took antibiotics for 3 months, and that destroyed, most likely destroyed the the natural biome in my gut. And so I started by doing antifungals, and then I followed that with some anti-inflammatories, and then slowly worked my way towards reinstating the natural biome, taking probiotics.
And all of this with herbal medicine.
And all of this with herbal medicine, yes. So now I'm able to slowly start incorporating greens back into my diet.
Very interesting. So these food intolerances don't necessarily have to last forever.
Absolutely not, no. I mean, in some people there is a genetic component. Like, there are people with celiac who are gluten intolerant.
And, right.
You know, but I think for a lot of people, it's just a lifetime of poor eating habits, of exposure to antibiotics, of stress. There's certainly many, many components that can contribute.
One thing I've always wondered, and maybe you can help us with this, Tomas, is that there's all these herbs growing out of the ground, and we have all these ailments, and how did the first person match the right herb to the right ailment? To what extent was it just trial and error? I mean, some of them are poisonous, some of them are benign, some of them are helpful, some of them are helpful for only one thing. How does that research get done? How's it gotten done in the past and the present?
Well, what we know now, coming from the past and looking at traditional, one big help to us has been studying traditional Chinese medicine. But if we look at all the traditions from around the world, even from Mexico, Latin America, Africa, one of the big components of plant identification has been taste. So using our innate sense of taste to identify a plant, whether if it's soft and mucilaginous, or is it bitter, or is it sweet? And so we get it. We still use the flavor component, and that's used in the five element theory of Chinese medicine and many other traditions, using taste as a signal for what the chemical components of a plant might be and how that might affect the body. So obviously sweet is, people like sweet because it kind of soothes their stomach in a way and gives them energy. Something bitter is a lot sharper, and it has a cooling component to it, but it also moves things, and it quells inflammation. So taste for sure. Smell was another sense that was used, so to identify plants, and colors, the soil that the plants are growing in, if it's a rich bottom soil along a river versus a dry mountain top. So a lot of our so-called even animal instincts come into play as far as identifying plants and then documenting that. But yeah, you're right. Somebody had to go first.
Well, animals seem to always know what to eat.
Right.
When they're sick.
And people watched what animals would eat. So
how did they know?
The animals?
Yeah.
We're just built that way, aren't we? I mean, we're magical beings that are built to be living on this planet, and I mean, some things are toxic and poisonous, some plants, and animals do get sick from eating the wrong plant. So better that we watch them for a while and see what they eat.
Better them than us.
Could be.
Now, yeah. You have, as you mentioned, curanderas and curanderos sometimes talk to your students, and they bring a perspective that's not only the, I guess, what you would call chemistry of the plant, but also a kind of a more holistic approach to healing.
Right, and I was enchanted. I've spent a lot of time in Mexico and did my dissertation there on curanderismo, which is the art of healing, and exists all over Latin America. It's kind of a multicultural approach. The approach is holistic. It's very hands-on, as our course is very hands-on. We teach people not only the science of the plants, but also how to apply that information. And the curanderas are very much about knowing the plants and the applications. They have a rich understanding of how to apply plants in so many different ways in therapeutic. And of course, their orientation in a spiritual sense is very powerful, very earth-based, and very respectful of where the plants came from, and also our elders and of the traditions that were given to us. So We're fortunate to incorporate that in, and it fits very well into, it's kind of like bringing back some of the knowledge that we had in our cultural past and helping us remember where what we had in our culture before the modern technology took over.
And for so many of us, that's one or two generations back.
Exactly. And so, for example, Jimmy comes from an Italian background. The Italians have a very rich, you know, history of herbal use. And
did some of that come down to you, Jimmy?
Not really. It's more like wine and huge gardens. But that's all I remember as a child.
And then garlic.
Lots of garlic. Spaghetti sauce.
Yeah. My Sicilian grandmother always put a bay leaf in water if she had an upset stomach. I don't know if that's the kind of thing that, that you guys are doing today. But, I mean, another thing that I wanted to ask you all about is when you go, I mean, you learn, you go out into the field, you learn what plants look like, you learn how to harvest them, when to harvest them. And then when you harvest them, what are the different things that you can do with those plants to make them into medicines that will help people?
Well, give you an example. Our first field trips were just beautiful because they cover everything. Tomas was able to show us different plants and when to pick them, how to pick them, because there's a certain way to pick a plant and to actually sort of spiritually speak with the plant. I was able to sit down in a stand of horehound, beautiful little plant, sort of communing with it, and when I felt comfortable, I was able to cut it responsibly, where you try not to kill the plant, and you harvest what you can, and I was able to take it back, and while I was at the camp, I put it on screens and actually dried it in my Jeep, and then when I went back home after the trip was over, I dried it a little more and made horehound candy out of it, horehound cough drops, and was actually able to give it to my grandson, which he liked it, and because it was a mixture of honey and like a strong tea, and make candy out of it, and it worked, and that really totally sealed it for me.
So one of my favorite things to do is to tincture plants. And so you can either do a fresh tincture or a tincture with dried herbs. And so if you're in the field and collecting herbs, you can actually, you know, put them in a jar and then put grain alcohol. So we get 100% alcohol or 100% grain alcohol. It's organic. And that helps, that extracts certain compounds out of the plant. And so you let the plant sit in the alcohol for 2 weeks, a month, you know, however long. You shake it every day. So it's nice. So not only do you do this right away, but then every day you spend some time with the tincture. You get it out of the cupboard, you shake it, you kind of just, you know, you're with it. You try to put some positive energy into it. And then you extract the alcohol out. You just basically, you just run it through through muslin cloth. And that's a really nice way to take the herb, because then you just take a few drops a few times a day and you don't have to make a tea, so it's very convenient. So that's one of my favorite ways to make medicine.
Are there herbal things that each of you does every day just as a way of maintaining your health as opposed to treating illness?
Well, I try to look at everything I consume in a medicinal kind of way. I would say all in all, I try to do the right kind of food combinations and eat with the seasons. And at the end of each day, I always have a pot of tea with my partner, and we enjoy mint tea, for example, as a digestive at night. And so we share that. And calms the digestion, calms the nerves, puts kind of an end to the day in a real peaceful way, and helps with sleeping. And so that's my daily routine.
One of my daily routines now is every morning I get up and I make a huge pot of tea, and it really varies from day to day depending on how I'm feeling, or if I feel like I'm coming down with a cold, I'll choose certain herbs. If I just want something to mellow me out, if I have a stressful day at work coming up, I'll choose certain herbs, and then I put that in a little glass jar, and I take that to work with me and sip on it throughout the morning. And it's just a nice sort of ritual. It's replaced coffee. which is good.
Right.
And then at night I take a tincture to help with sleep.
Yeah, in the morning I like to have a large cup of tea with herbs. I like the adaptogens, which are, they help your body to adapt to any kind of stress in life, and they keep you well. And I like rhodiola and ginseng, of course. Cordyceps sometimes, which are, some are Chinese, some are Russian, but in the school they brought in all different aspects of healing from different countries, East Indian Ayurveda, so we use some of that, and some Chinese, we use some of that, and lots of local, and like if I feel like I'm coming down with something, or sometimes I'll just chew on a piece of osha root just to maintain health. It's very good for the lungs and for the whole system.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, probably the closer the plant is to the ground, the more fresh and potent it's going to be, or is that true?
At times it's true, but in general, some herbs just have powerful qualities to it, like osha, yerba mansa, things like that. Very good for the lungs and for breathing.
So we're talking about the Milagro School of Herbal Medicine, and there's an 8-month course that starts in the spring.
Right. This year, 2014, we start April 1st, and we meet every Tuesday evening and then every other Saturday for an all-day program. And then we have 3 field trips where we go out in the field and numerous herb walks and lots of guest speakers and as I said, lots of hands-on. So the students are involved in making their own interpretation of the information and different products that they have in mind, how they might see applying it. And we review all that. We also have potlucks that incorporate seasonal foods and seasonal herbs to also to understand the flavors of the season. Each season has a flavor, so we incorporate that. It helps everyone understand really how seasonal living takes place and how we can maximize our immune systems and our health by living in a more conscious way. So that runs April 1st through early November, and it's an extended program where students do a lot of research papers as well and turn in their journals, and we're glad to give out information. We have 5 main instructors, myself, and we have Kendall McKinley, Aaron Gallagher, and Janet Snowden, and Amber Anastasian. So we have a good solid group of instructors.
And the website is milagroherbs.com, and you also have a store right on Paseo de Peralta, sort of across the street from the Gerald Peters Gallery.
That's right. So people can come in and ask us questions if they like and pick up an application.
Dr. Tomas Inos is co-founder of the Milagro School of Herbal Medicine. Beth Perry and Jimmy Manello are recent graduates. I want to thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Shirley.
Pleasure. Thank you. Yeah.